Warner Brother Pictures. Quinta Communications. Tarak Ben Ammar presents.
For once, I believe you because it's just rotten enough.
You're both rotten.
Well, you're a little more rotten. You got me to take care of your husband for you. And then you get Zucchetti to take care of Lola. Maybe take care of me, too. Then somebody else would have come along to take care of Zucchetti for you. That's the way you operate, isn't it, baby?
Suppose it is. Is what you've got cooked up for tonight any better?
I don't like that music anymore. Mind if I close the window?
A naked blonde woman's reflected in a television screen that's showing an old black and white film. Femme Fatale.
You can do better than that, can't you, baby? Better try it again. Maybe if I came a little closer.
As the characters speak, French subtitles flash up on the television screen.
How's this? Think you can do it now?
The blonde woman's lying on her side, her head in her hand, and a gold sheet draped over her waist.
Why don't you shoot again, baby?
She's on a bed and smoking a cigarette.
Don't tell me it's because you've been in love with me all this time.
No, I never loved you, Walter, not you or anybody else. I'm rotten to the heart. I used you just as you said. That's all you ever meant to me. Until a minute ago.
What the fuck are you doing?
A man in a tux walks in and turns the TV off.
You know what time it is?
The blonde woman stands, wearing just a pair of black, lacy knickers.
Listen up. At 2200, wetsuits down the hall when the snake hits the carpet. Security lifts the key. I'll terminate the torpedoes. Charm the snake into the stall. Bait and switch. At 2220, wetsuit turns out the lights. Glasses on. I bag the snake. Key in the bag. Bag to the boat. No radio, unless absolutely necessary. Code red, 5 minutes to blackout. Drop everything, walk away. If the cops get you, tell them the truth. You know no one. Got it? Got it?
She turns towards him, blows smoke in his face, and nods.
You have your passport?
She passes it to him.
The plane leaves tomorrow at 0700. And remember, no names and no guns.
He slaps her.
Are you high?
She gently shakes her head.
Then stop dreaming, bitch. This isn't a game tonight. People can die. I'll get moving.
He puts the passport in the inside pocket of his jacket and stands up. Then he notices something on the table and picks up a headpiece device.
You forget something?
The blonde woman stands up and snatches it from him. Then crosses the room. The man watches her disapprovingly. He straightens his tie, and as the hotel room door opens, he pulls the curtains of a window aside. Outside, a crowd's gathered beside a long red carpet, and cameras flash as people take pictures of the stars who are walking along it.
Stepping onto the red carpet, here is Régis Vanier, the director of East West, present tonight for a special screening of his film. He's accompanied by the producer, Yves Mamio, and the splendid actress, Sandrine Bonnaire. On his right is Veronica, who's wearing an amazing top in shape of a serpent. It was especially designed by Eli Medeiros for the Chopard Jewelers, adorned with 500 diamonds for a total weight of 385 carats, with an estimated value of over $10 million.
In an observation room, men watch the TV pictures of Veronica. One says, "Look at that, oh man." Another, who has a thick moustache, seems nervous and glances at his watch. He sees a man climbing into a ventilation outlet on the monitor next to him and moves to cover up the screen. A black-clad, silhouetted figure, wetsuit, abseils down the long metal ventilation shaft that has a fan spinning at the bottom. Outside, the blonde woman takes pictures of Veronica, a slender, dark-haired beauty. She's wearing only the gold serpent-like jewelry that just about covers her breasts and snakes down her stomach towards a short green skirt.
Incredible! How can she walk around like that?
Oh, fuck! I can't believe you did that!
The mustachioed guard spilt syrup all over the other guard's keys. What am I supposed to do now, he asks, and the mustachioed guard offers to clean them. Outside, a banner reads Festival of Cannes 2001. The pack of photographers follow the stars up the carpet, but one stays behind, taking a few last pictures. It's the blonde woman, who's wearing an ID card that says Laura Ash, France. Now Laura, too, starts walking forward, taking more pictures as the stars ascend the steps. The mustachioed guard's washing the keys in a sink. Wetsuit lowers himself further down the ventilation shaft. In the basement, blue and orange lights glow between large pipes. Nearby, a security guard sits in his windowed office, reading. To the left of the office is a small outlet from the shaft. Wetsuit, a man with a goatee beard, stops lowering himself. Black Tie, the tuxedoed man from the hotel, is walking around the foyer of the cinema. Veronica and Vanier reach the doors to the auditorium and stop to talk to someone.
Oh, good evening. Thank you very much. I took a picture of you.
The guard continues to scrub the keys, but he's taken one off the set. Laura walks up to Veronica and whispers in her ear, making her smile, then walks off along the corridor. Veronica watches her with pleasure, then goes up to Vanier.
Let's go. I just gotta go to the bathroom.
You come back. 1 minute. Veronica, trailed by two bodyguards, walks sexily down the corridor, following Laura, who's just a little way in front of her. The mustachioed guard gives the clean keys back to his colleague, who then complains about his trousers. The mustachioed guard offers to get something to clean them while watching Laura on the monitor. He then hurries off. Laura goes into the ladies' toilet, where a woman in a long pink dress is using the mirror to put in some earrings. She goes up to her and whispers in her ear, caressing her bottom. The woman moves sharply away and walks out. Veronica nears the toilet as the woman in pink leaves. Laura goes into a cubicle made of frosted glass. Meanwhile, the mustachioed guard runs through a series of service corridors. Laura waits in the cubicle. Wetsuit pulls out a gadget that looks like a sophisticated hairdryer. Veronica goes into the toilet, leaving the two bodyguards outside. One of them says, "I've got a piss too. I'll be right back," leaving the bald one on his own. Veronica walks into the toilet and strides straight up to Laura, who's waiting for her. She looks her right in the eye, and they kiss passionately. Outside, Black Tie's still walking around the cinema foyer, while the mustachioed guard's running hard along a passageway in the basement. Black Tie looks around worriedly. Then the guard comes running down some steps into the foyer. but slows to walk calmly around the bald bodyguard. The other bodyguard's relieving himself at a urinal in the men's toilet, and Black Tie standing behind him, looking in the mirror as he pulls on some black leather gloves. He reaches inside his jacket pocket and pulls out a small electric stun gun, which he tests. The mustachioed guard's standing in the corridor outside. Black Tie walks up behind the bodyguard, shocks him in the neck and shoves him into a cubicle. In the ventilation shaft, Wetsuit holds his hairdryer-type gadget out in front of him and pulls a trigger. It emits a thin red laser beam. Black Tie grabs the mustachioed guard and asks for the key.
Humanity.
He hands it to him fearfully. From his windowed office in the basement, the guard looks up as the red laser beam comes out of a hole in one of the pipes. But it stops almost immediately and he thinks nothing of it. The mustachioed guard and Black Tie part company. Veronica and Laura are still kissing passionately in the toilet. The mustachioed guard walks up to the bald bodyguard, taps him on the shoulder and asks for a light.
Any food?
As the bodyguard lights the cigar, Black Tie slips past him into the ladies' toilet. In the cinema's auditorium, the crowd applaud Vanier, who waves at them and then takes his seat. Red curtains pull back to reveal the screen and opening credits. In the toilet, Laura unclips Veronica's gold earring and drops it on the floor. Veronica pulls back, and Laura puts an earpiece in her ear. They smile and start kissing again. A hand reaches under the cubicle and picks up the gold earring. Veronica, meanwhile, turns to face the frosted glass and writhes with pleasure as Laura runs her hands over her body and between her thighs. Black Tie's crouching on the floor on the other side of the glass, studying the earring he's just collected. He puts it into a bag containing replicas of all of Veronica's jewel-encrusted adornments. He then picks out a coiled gold serpentine bracelet and glances up at the erotic display before him. Pressed up against Veronica's back, Laura seductively removes her partner's bejeweled bracelet before dropping it on the floor. Black Tie then surreptitiously exchanges it for the replica. Veronica turns around, and Laura kisses her again. In the cinema, Vanier glances round as someone arrives, but upon discovering it's not Veronica, he turns back to the screen as the film title Est West appears over an oceanic view. Wetsuit carefully turns a silver dial and a small camera pokes out of the hole he made in the air vent. A tiny light comes on and the camera extends outwards like a snake. He watches the green infrared image of the basement that it's sending back to him. As the camera extends further still, it sweeps to one side and reveals the security guard reading in his office. Laura stops kissing Veronica and runs a pair of scissors roughly over her cheek and down her neck, but without cutting her. In the security room, the mustachioed guard returns to his colleague and pretends to have forgotten what he went for. In the toilet, Laura runs the scissors down over Veronica's chest and between her breasts, then cuts the small wire that's holding the diamond-encrusted costume together. Outside, the bald bodyguard's alarm starts beeping. In the toilet, the jewelry falls to the floor while Laura and Veronica continue to kiss. The bodyguard speaks into his earpiece intercom.
We've got a problem.
In the basement, Wetsuit's camera extends further. Meanwhile, in the cinema, Vanier looks to the empty seat where Veronica should be and shifts uneasily. Laura's caressing Veronica's breasts and kissing her body while Black Tie reaches for the jewelry at their feet. The mustachioed guard watches a monitor and sees the bodyguard heading for the toilet. He gives the warning, code red. Black Tie curses and shakes his fist. Wetsuit hears the warning and sets a timer counting down from 5 minutes at the bottom of his night vision goggles. Laura moves the main body of jewelry closer to the glass divide for Black Tie, who's busy pulling his gloves back on. The bodyguard approaches outside.
Mademoiselle Veronica.
Laura carries on kissing and caressing Veronica, while Black Tie puts the main body of jewelry into his bag. Then, Laura stops.
Baby, we're gone.
Black Tie picks up a dart gun. The mustachioed guard looks at his watch, and the bodyguard comes into the toilet. Laura helps Veronica put the replica jewelry back on.
Mademoiselle Veronica?
The bodyguard steps further into the room, and a figure appears behind the frosted cubicle door ahead of him. It opens slightly, and Black Tie, now wearing a balaclava, peers through. He raises his dart gun. The bodyguard bends down to get a better look, and at the same time reaches inside his jacket. Black Tie takes aim as the bodyguard bends over. The dart hits the bodyguard in the face. He sprawls forward, but as Black Tie charges with another gun, the bodyguard gets off a shot. Black Tie then leaps on top of him and clubs his head repeatedly. Down in the basement, Wetsuit is still using his infrared camera, but it's attracted the attention of a cat who playfully attacks it. The timer has gone down to 1 minute and 45 seconds. Black Tie shuffles slowly across the toilet floor, blood dripping from his wound. He opens the cubicle door.
The keys in the back. You can't move.
Laura walks slowly towards the door and he pulls her out. He's about to shoot Veronica when Laura kicks him to the floor.
You better get out of here. Go!
Veronica runs out of the toilet and sees her other bodyguard staggering along. They stole the diamonds, she shouts. Laura pushes the gun up against Black Tie's head.
Asshole, you said no fucking guns.
These are glass, they switched them. These are glass.
It was my fucking passport.
Look it down there.
It's fucking glass.
You're gonna kill me, bitch.
Oh, shut the fuck.
Call security, the bodyguard says into his intercom.
Understand?
I repeat, call, don't move, stay where you are, the bodyguard yells to a figure emerging from the toilet. It's Laura, wearing a leather jacket and balaclava. At gunpoint, she slips a device down over her face. Wetsuit's extended camera probe fires a laser, which penetrates a control panel, and the whole building is suddenly plunged into darkness.
Don't move, or I'll shoot.
Ne bougez pas.
Aided by her night vision device, Laura watches the bodyguard and his colleagues grope helplessly about the corridor. Then she goes through a door into the cinema auditorium. Wetsuit's laughing with delight. Laura passes through the auditorium before heading down some stairs. Abseiling down a shaft, Wetsuit pauses, hearing Black Tie on the radio. Laura's walking from the building.
The bitch double-crossed us. She took off with the diamonds. Where is she? In Paris. She's got a girlfriend in Belleville.
Elle est où?
À Paris. Elle a une copine qui habite Belleville.
No, you don't understand. I need a passport yesterday.
Wearing dark glasses and a black wig, Laura stands in the rain holding an umbrella above her head. A dark-haired man standing on a balcony some way behind her takes an interest and begins to photograph her. A slim, young woman climbs some church steps to where Laura's waiting. The photographer is not the only person who's watching them. Another man wearing a silver signet ring is observing the scene through binoculars. It's Wetsuit.
Did you get it?
The woman hands Laura something.
What is it?
I don't believe this is a free country. And I'm entitled to make any picture of anything and anyone I want from my balcony.
Go fuck yourself!
Now go to church. Try to save your soul. Gotcha. Yes!
The photographer heads indoors and connects his camera to a computer. Laura, meanwhile, has gone inside the church, where she's approached by an old woman. The old woman embraces her warmly, then goes, leaving Laura looking confused. While this happens, the photographer's printing off the pictures he's taken of Laura and her friend. Slightly bewildered, Laura walks along the aisle of the church, and the photographer crops one of the prints with a desktop guillotine. Laura sits herself down in a chair. She glances over to the old woman, who's standing nearby, staring back and dabbing her face with the corner of her headscarf. Laura removes her sunglasses. Holding the piece of paper her friend gave her, she sees that the front row of seats are occupied by a group of black-clad mourners. Some of them look back at her with surprise. From somewhere behind Laura, a crosshair focuses on her note. Having unfolded it, Laura becomes aware of two mourners, a middle-aged man and woman, moving along the aisle towards her. As they close in, she flees outside.
Lily! Lily!
The couple chase Laura down the steps. Laura climbs into the back of a cab.
Go and get the car. Hurry up.
Now, Wetsuit passes a cleaning woman as he saunters towards a hotel door, wearing a black woolen cap and a long leather jacket. A hotel porter opens the door to Laura's cab. She gets out and heads indoors. Meanwhile, a man in a brown suede sports jacket opens the door to Wetsuit.
Yes? What do you want?
Having decked the man with a vicious punch, Wetsuit lets himself into the room. Laura crosses the hotel lobby, passing two people who have just stepped from a lift. She climbs into the lift herself with a hotel waitress who's carrying champagne in an ice bucket on a tray. She presses the button for her floor, then glances down at the champagne bottle. Meanwhile, Wetsuit's pulling his victim away from the door. The lift doors open, and Laura steps out onto one of the many balconied walkways that surrounds a wide, skylit atrium at the center of the hotel. Moving along the walkway, she passes a man going in the opposite direction with a mobile phone to his ear. Then Laura looks down at a noisy commotion in the courtyard at the atrium's base.
Over here?
No, she went over there.
No, Irma, she went over there.
Nonsense, I saw her there. I'm sure it's her. She went that way.
Keep looking over there.
It's the couple from the church. Laura turns to the door behind her and knocks on it. Inside the room, the blinds are being opened. Sunlight spills in as Laura opens the door, shielding her eyes from the glare.
Don't move. Don't move. Stay put. take off your glasses. Good. Good, the light is perfect. Brought the money?
Of course. Perfect for what?
I need a picture for the passport. Look right at the lens.
Wetsuit grabs Laura and begins strangling her.
Before I stab your double crushed neck, just tell me one thing. Where are the diamonds?
Laura manages to push him aside and get out the door, but Wetsuit leaps on her. He hurls her over the railing of the walkway, and in slow motion, she plunges down the atrium, smashing through the raised glass roof that covers the courtyard below, and landing amongst thick rolls of building insulation.
Oh my God!
Oh, Lily! Lily!
Don't touch her! Don't!
As the middle-aged couple look upon her with anxious faces, Laura's eyes flutter open. Now, rain reflected on the ceiling of a nicely furnished bedroom.
Are you preparing the tea?
Yes, of course. I'm not just boiling the water.
Oh, forget it. I told you we should have done something.
It's none of our business.
Oh, right. You read two words and she falls apart. That's none of our business, I suppose.
It had to be done. People die and wills have to be read.
Did you see the look on her face? And her hair? What has she done with her hair?
What do you know about looks? I'm just a notaire, damn it.
What if the kids and I were killed? Would you give a damn what I left you? When your gun disappeared, I knew she would do something crazy.
How do you know she stole it?
Who else? Go check on the tea.
Irma asks the person in the bed.
Feeling better, Lily? Now you just have to shut up, honey. Save your strength. You just have to rest. You have suffered a terrible tragedy, and you need time to get better, you know. And if you get the urge to do anything silly, I want you to call me. Before we leave, I want you to answer one question. Did you borrow Louis's gun?
As-tu pris l'arme de Louis?
Are you sure?
Irma nods.
Si tu la retrouves, tu m'en parleras?
Okay, but if you come across it, you'll tell me, won't you?
Bon.
Good.
Je vais t'allumer la télé. Ça te fera une compagnie?
I'll turn the TV on so you'll have some company.
Tiens.
Here. We'll be back tonight with some dinner.
Ce soir, t'apporter à manger.
The woman blows a kiss, and Louis waves.
Bois ton thé pendant qu'il est chaud.
Drink your tea while it's hot.
With the couple gone, Laura reaches out from the bed and picks up a framed photograph from a side table. It's of a young couple, and the woman in the picture is a perfect doppelganger of Laura.
Holy shit.
She stares in amazement. She wanders around the apartment, listening to the TV.
And if you could see the future in a crystal ball, or in the palm of your hand, or in a dream, would you change it?
Yep.
Laura's wearing a dressing gown. She dips into a cupboard, examining a dress that she finds inside. Finding a matching blue skirt and top, she bobs up and down with delight. Moving on through a living room area, Laura seems taken aback by what she sees there. The room is bedecked with many baskets of flowers. She reads the card on one before crossing the room and slipping the card from another out of its envelope. She then reads it. We are sorry for your great loss. She's about to read another of the cards when she picks up something that catches her eye on the floor. It's a passport belonging to Lily, the woman she's been mistaken for. Laura smiles broadly. Along with the passport is an envelope containing an airline ticket. The look of delight fades from her face, to be replaced by a more thoughtful expression. Laura makes her way towards a nearby door set with blue-stained glass. Opening it, she finds herself gazing into a child's bedroom. The shelves and broad windowsills in the room are festooned with cuddly animal toys and a collection of snow globes. Hanging on the wall opposite her are framed boards on which there are many photographs depicting a couple and their young daughter. From a digital picture frame displaying a slideshow of family snaps, to the apartment's bathroom. The passport and ticket are in the pocket of the dressing gown, which is hanging up near Laura's black wig, now placed over a lamp. Laura's smoking a cigarette as she lies looking relaxed in the rising soapy suds of the bath. She closes her eyes and blows out smoke as she rests her head back against the rim of the bath. There are framed photographs hanging on the wall of the bathroom. They're happy, smiley pictures of the young family. A clock reads 25 to 4, and water reaches the rim of the bath. The tap continues to pour water in, and soon the bath's overflowing. Laura's eyes remain closed, however, and her hand, still holding the cigarette on the bath's rim, slowly relaxes. As the water begins to seep down the side of the bath, Laura sinks further into it, and lightning flashes from outside, lighting up her slumbering face. Woken by the noise, Laura lifts her head and listens. The drenched figure of a young woman in a summer dress has entered the apartment. She disappears from the hall into one of the side rooms. The young woman stands weeping inconsolably as she leans on a kitchen counter that overlooks the living room. The baskets of flowers are laid out in front of her. She puts her hand to her mouth to stifle her cries, but her sobbing continues unabated. Walking through to the living room, she puts her hand to her ears as if to muffle the sound of the storm. The woman is Laura's doppelganger, Lily. She moves some of the baskets aside in search of something, then crouches in front of a chest of drawers and begins to rifle through its contents. Laura's now wearing the dressing gown and is watching Lily's plight from a curtained door on the other side of the room. Lily gets to her feet and turns her attention to a card she finds with some flowers on a sideboard. She reads the card, then discards it as her emotional turmoil takes over as she begins flinging the flowers about the room. Still unseen by Lily, Laura watches with an intense look on her face. Lily's destructive mood soon subsides, and she sits herself down by an overflowing fish tank. She picks up a pen and begins some frantic writing. Laura stands and cranes her neck, trying to see what Lily's doing. The distressed young woman finishes her scribbling, looks briefly at what she's written, then attaches the piece of paper to a calendar hanging on the wall behind her. She then stumbles from the room, and Lily rushes up to look at the note. It reads, "I thought I'd go to America and start a new life. My English isn't good, but I'm a fast learner. I even bought a plane ticket, but I've lost it. I just can't go on without my Thierry and Brigitte. Please, God, forgive me. And let us now all be together." Laura returns to her hiding place and watches as, down the hall, Lily pulls something from a suitcase she's kneeling in front of. It's a gun, and she staggers back towards the living room, clutching the weapon in one hand and a small box in the other. Sitting at a table, Lily empties bullets from the box out in front of her and sets about loading the gun. Laura watches her, lightning illuminating her face. Having spun the chamber and locked it into position, Lily raises the gun and points it at the side of her head. Laura closes her eyes and turns away slightly in expectation of what's to come. Lily lowers the gun and begins to weep helplessly. She looks at the weapon in her hand and spins the bullet chamber again. Lily points the gun at her head once more. Laura's transfixed by the morbid scene. Lily's eyes are closed. Her features strain as she applies pressure on the trigger and the hammer draws back. A white, rotating shape resolves itself into the spinning turbine of a jet engine. Passengers are climbing the boarding steps of an airliner. A woman with black hair and matching skirt and top is amongst them.
There's been a mistake. The computer has sold the same seat twice. I'm terribly sorry. Could we accommodate you in our first class cabin? This way, please.
The stewardess shows Laura through.
It's right here.
Laura's fallen asleep on the plane. Very carefully, so as not to disturb her, the male passenger she's leaning on massages his hand. The man tries to relax. But with Laura resting on his shoulder, his position is clearly uncomfortable. He flexes his hand again, and Laura suddenly wakes.
I'm sorry. Je suis désolé que
I'm sorry I woke you up.
You were sleeping.
Pardon.
Vous êtes dormi ici. Are you okay? Oh, I didn't mean to frighten you. I'm sorry. Are you okay? I'm sorry. Vous parlez français ou ah bon? I'm sorry.
Vous êtes américain?
Yes. Yeah. California. I mean, I grew up in California, but I live in Washington now.
And what do you do in life?
In life?
Oui.
Well, I started in software, ordinateur, and made some money and found out that I was interested in other things.
Like what, things?
Well, like the whole world. I went back to school in Washington. I got a degree in foreign relations. I taught for a little while. And then I got a posting at the State Department.
America is a country very big, no?
Oh, very big. Is this your first trip?
Yes. I begin my new life there. France is no good for me.
Oh, how can you say that? France is a fabulous country. Really, it's the queen of Europe to me. The art, the history, the sense of language. Stendhal, Racine, Balzac.
I lost my baby there.
He looks taken aback.
I'm sorry, I don't know what to say. That's terrible. Please forgive me. I didn't know. It's okay. It's okay. It's just awful.
He holds her head, consoling her as she weeps. 7 years later. Sitting upon his balcony smoking, the photographer answers his mobile phone.
Hola, el señor Bardo no está en la casa en estos momentos.
What are you doing, trying to dodge bill collectors? Nick, it's Johnny.
I know who you are.
What are you doing?
Working.
Something I can sell?
Could be. I just need one more piece.
Another shot of that table? What's happened to you? Are you eating?
Barely.
How'd you like to take a break from your masterwork and make some real money?
What are you selling?
You know who Bruce Hewitt Watts is?
As strange as it may seem to you, John, photographers actually read, you know, books, magazines, even daily newspapers.
All right, smartass. Who is he?
New American ambassador.
Bingo. Well, guess what? He's got a wife, but no one seems to have a picture of her.
Maybe she's camera shy.
No, she's not camera shy. She's got a past and she's not talking about it. I did some checking and found out she's really French, married before with a kid.
So, I got an ex I don't talk about either. What's wrong with that?
Nothing except for you don't dodge photographers like you got something to hide.
So you want me to nail her, right?
You are the best.
Oh, come on, you know, I don't like to do this. I feel like shit. And besides, I am retired.
On what? IOUs? I'm not just your agent, Nicholas. I'm your bank and you're way past due. I want you to do yourself a favor and go to work. I get five figures for this picture.
All right. What's her schedule?
Arrives by private jet tonight.
Hey, I gotta go. Bye.
Get that
bye.
Picture.
Nick aims his camera lens at a cafe table where a blonde woman sitting with a brunette who's wearing a camouflage patterned outfit. Next, a young woman points a camera at the embassy building beyond some heavy ornate gates as a uniformed guard opens them. The woman then goes to the aid of a man with a white stick.
Be careful, you almost fell.
Oh, thank you.
Where are you going?
Listen, I'm looking for public toilets. The Champs-Élysées are over there or over here?
I don't understand, sorry. Do you speak English?
No, very little. I don't speak English, but I'm going to the toilets over there.
What do you want?
Could you...
Stop that, you pervert!
I'm telling you, they're this way.
The man with the white stick stumbled against a stretched limo that's pulled up. As the door opens and a woman gets out, he photographs her, then runs off. The fleeing man's Nick. A bodyguard gives chase but soon gives up. Prison Road, south of France. A large white van slows to a halt at a crossroads in the middle of a wide green stretch of open country. Alongside three other men who get out of the van is Black Tie. Wearing a familiar open neck white shirt and black dinner suit, Black Tie takes in his surroundings as he strolls over to join the others, who are now waiting by a small road sign. As the other men light cigarettes and talk amongst themselves, Black Tie adjusts his cuffs and strokes some dirt from his jacket lapels. He's wearing the same tuxedo and blood-stained shirt he was wearing on the night of the heist.
Oh.
Wetsuit pulls up in an expensive-looking car ahead of a bus, and Black Tie's companions check it out as he opens the passenger door.
Wow. Super case, huh?
Nice wheels. What did you expect? I only steal the best.
Is this Nicholas Bardo?
Speaking.
You took a picture of Mrs. Watts?
Who wants to know?
Leonard Schiff, head of Watts Security. I'd like to buy it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Schiff, but it's already been sold.
Unsell it. We'll double whatever you got.
That's very generous.
I don't think you realize who you're dealing with, Mr. Bardo. We know all about you. Your overdrawn bank account, your criminal record.
Excuse me,
sir. I suggest you get that picture back and you bring it to me at the residence tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. sharp. Don't keep me waiting.
Sir, hold on. Hello?
Bravo, mec. Hein?
Nice Bravo. Going, man. Really?
Merci, hein, pour ton
Thanks
silence,
for keeping your mouth shut. They must have offered you some sweet deals to talk.
There was nothing to talk about. They just asked about diamonds, of which I knew shit. Once the insurance paid off, they stopped asking.
That bitch knows.
I thought about her every fucking minute of every fucking hour for 7 fucking years. Where is she?
Hey, oh, ho, hola!
Hey, I've been looking. I talked to everyone. I never stopped. I ran down every scumbag that ever knew her, but so far nothing.
She just vanished off the face of the earth?
Hey, I'm not Interpol, all right? I've been fucked the same as you. I did a lot of checking. I've got one thing, maybe. One thing. You know that girlfriend of hers? The brunette? She's fencing diamonds. It's all I've got.
Black Tie considers.
Yeah.
A wedding party spills out of the church onto the steps. Nearby, a photographer sees them and rushes over to get their attention. A policeman gives directions to 2 tourists, while nearby, a workman standing on a stepladder, rolling up a poster he's removed from a wall. On the far side of a gently inclining street, 2 young boys chase after a ball that's rolling away from them. On the same street, sitting at a table outside a cafe, is a young woman in a camo outfit. Her face remains unseen as she picks up a bag with a matching camouflage pattern and sets off in a pair of knee-length, high-heeled, camouflage patterned boots. Everything and everyone around the church is moving in slow motion. The wedding photographer looks from the clouds drifting by overhead to the wedding party he's trying to arrange for a picture. As the workman and his colleague unfurl a fresh poster, the camo girl walks up to a doorway and presses a buzzer. She heads inside the building. Moments later, she's running from it, minus the bag. Two men are running after her. It's Black Tie and Wetsuit. They chase her across a road, catching up with her as she reaches the other side. Grappling with her, Wetsuit warns off 2 bystanders standing next to a nearby truck. Camo Girl struggles as Black Tie grips her by the throat.
I'll ask you this just once. Where is she?
Black tie spots a white lorry moving at speed as it turns a corner onto the street. He and Wetsuit hurl Camo Girl into its path. The lorry hits her and she's sent flying through the air. Its momentum then carries the heavy vehicle over the girl's lifeless body. Black Tie points out the new poster the workmen have put up across the street. It's a blow-up of the photo Nick took of Laura. Now, a man sitting in a car sees Nick ride a motorcycle up to the gates of the embassy.
Park Bardo in the office until I can get...
The besuited man pauses his telephone conversation to peer at Nick through binoculars.
Hold on a second.
Nick's now standing on the pavement, where he surreptitiously places a disc into a digital recorder.
I don't believe it. This paparazzi scum is wearing a wire. Make sure it doesn't get past security.
A second embassy gate further along the street opens, and a silver car pulls out. Black Tie knocks on the man's window, who's watching all this transpire.
Hold on.
Hi, bonjour.
Yeah, bonjour.
Pouvez-vous m'aider, s'il vous plaît?
Un minute, pal.
The silver car stops for a moment near Nick, who gets a good look at Laura behind the wheel. She lifts her sunglasses momentarily to look up ahead and reveals a black eye. Looking upset, she drives on and Nick mounts his motorbike. The man who's observing him follows Nick as he takes off after Laura's car. Laura's silver car cruises along a Parisian road, stopping at a pedestrian crossing to let some schoolchildren by. Nick stops a short distance behind her and watches Laura intently through her car's rear window. She shakes an inhaler of some kind and tries to use it, but it seems to be empty, and so she tosses it aside. Laura drives on. Soon, her car is parked up next to a cafe. Despite the drab weather, she still wears her sunglasses as she gets out and makes her way over to a seedy-looking nightclub with the words "Live Show" above the entrance. Nick's removing his leather biking gloves as he stands watching Laura talk to the man at the club's entrance. Nick unzips his motorcycling jacket, intensely interested in Laura's conversation with the shifty-looking man. Nick's long-lens camera is resting on his motorbike, and he picks it up. The man Laura's talking to steps around her, apparently studying and appraising her. Nick takes a few shots of them. Laura's new companion shows her to a side entrance, and the pair of them disappear inside. Nick appears frustrated by this development, but soon his eyes are drawn to an apartment directly above the club. The shutters on the windows are open, and he can see movement inside. Then he spots Laura and the man through one of the neighboring windows. He quickly takes some pictures. Laura's counting out a large wad of cash. The man nods and seems satisfied as he picks it up. The man then produces a brown paper bag and places something inside it as Laura watches. He then points a gun in her face. Nick looks concerned as the man gestures for Laura to close some of the blinds on the window. She does so. Later, the man from the embassy watches from his car as Nick loiters outside the hotel where Laura has parked, handing her car keys over to the porter before walking indoors.
Yes, of course, sir.
But you can't stay there. Please, leave your bike. Leave it there. You can't leave it there.
I know.
Please.
Okay.
The man in the car watches Nick hurry into the hotel. From the courtyard, Nick spots Laura striding along one of the hotel walkways. A Do Not Disturb sign is placed on the outside door handle of a room, and the doors close just as Nick's approaching. He puts his hands to his head, clearly unsure of what to do next. Inside the room, Laura stands holding the shifty man's gun. Looking a little panicked, she quickly puts the gun away, along with the other contents of the brown paper bag. In an attempt to look casual, Nick throws his jacket over his shoulder as he waits for the door to be answered.
Hi. I'm sorry to bother you, but I rented this room last night and I think I left my disc here.
A disc?
When I got home, I checked my laptop and the backup disc was gone. And it's the only copy I have. And I have been searching like hell for it. Then I remember the only place I could have left it was here. So do you mind if I come in and just take a look around?
I don't think it's a good idea.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
He walks right in.
Thank you. Oh my God, I got so much information in that disc. You didn't see a disc, right? I mean, actually, it's not a disc. It's not like a CD or a DVD or anything like that. It's called floppy. It's just like a black thing that you introduce in the computer. Oh, I am remembering now that I put it there. Because I was working in bed. I just love to work in bed. I bet you do too. Anyway, let me just remember exactly what I did. I sat over here and I put that on my lap because it's a laptop and I just plug it over there and actually, you know what happened? What happened is that I wasn't alone and then...
He's found the gun.
Oh my God.
That's not your business.
Well, no, it's not. It's not, but it is. Because, excuse me. And... Are you all right? I think I can help you. I've been working in a hospital for a couple of years and kind of a candy striper myself. Just sit down over here. Yeah. Give me your arms. Just put them up. Just lay this and relax. Relax. And breathe. Breathe and relax. And now, listen to me. Listen to me. Good. I know. I have been accused of having an overactive imagination, you know? But when a classy woman like yourself checks into our airport hotel in the middle of the morning with a bunch of bullets and a gun, there's only one word that follows.
What word?
Bang. Now, if a guy walks in, maybe there doesn't have to be a bang. Maybe there is something to talk about. Coffee? Well, maybe we should start with some introductions.
I don't care who you are. And I definitely don't want you to know who I am.
All right, that's fair enough. Let's call me Harry and let's start with a shiner. Who's beating you up?
Must we talk about this?
Yes. Oh, we're gonna find a local police station and we're gonna talk about it there.
My husband.
All right. Why?
He has difficulty to control his temper.
Why does he lose it?
Because I can't live with him here.
Why not?
I have a past here. I was safe in the States, but here, it only takes one photo.
Let
the one today. I took that picture.
So Harry is Nicolas Bardot. Why did you follow me? To get more photos?
No, I just came to tell your security goon, Mr. Schiff, that I couldn't stop the picture from being published. I am sorry.
Anyone can see that. You've wasted your time.
Laura sips from her cup.
This espresso is cold.
Can I get you another cup?
Why? There's nothing more to say. Can I go now? You have the gun.
Sex shops are open all day.
I don't think I'll be going to one.
How can I be sure?
Just stay with me. I need air, but I don't want to talk anymore.
A woman talks on the phone at the American Embassy.
Good. So where is she? The ambassador is extremely worried. The police? God, no. Keep calling Schiff.
Continue up, Schiff.
Hanging up, the woman sighs heavily. Nick and Laura are walking together along a railway platform.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. We'd like to advise you not to leave your luggage unattended and to beware of pickpocket.
The embassy security man, Chief, ignores his car phone and watches Laura and Nick as they arrive back at the hotel. They're heading back to her room.
Right when I got divorced, I just decided to leave Spain and come here to Paris to reinvent myself. I got these crazy photographer ideas. Don't think for a second that I'm a paparazzi. I hate them. I feel like shit. But I have to make some money. That's the only way. But there is a square here in Paris, full of coffee shops, beautiful. And this one particular in a corner, with these light reflections. And I saw something that changed my life.
It's a great story, Nicola.
This is the best part.
I know. Maybe another time. It's a great story. But right now I'm very tired, and I would just like to take a warm bath and relax a little before I go home, okay?
I understand.
Thank you for today.
I'll be waiting out here just in case you need anything.
You don't trust me, do you?
No. It's not that. It's just being careful. Are you all right?
No. I'm out of my medicine.
There was a pharmacy in the airport.
Oh, that's right. Excuse me. My inhaler is in my car. They could refill it for me there. Huh?
That wouldn't be being careful.
Take my car. Take my purse. If you're so worried that I go somewhere.
You can call a taxi. Come on.
I could call a taxi. But I'm not going to do that.
Having given Nick her coat, she lets herself into the room.
I'm not going to need this in the bath.
Wait.
Definitely not going anywhere without them.
Nick follows her into the room and watches mesmerized as she begins to undress.
Are you flirting with me?
Was I?
I believe so, yeah.
I didn't mean to. It's just that all your boyhood stories make you so damn lovable.
Nick gulps.
Well, that's the point.
Down to her underwear, Laura stands close to Nick, and within moments, They're kissing passionately. She holds the back of his head before moving her hand slowly down his side. As they kiss hungrily, she dips into his jacket pocket and deftly removes a set of keys. Carefully, she hides them behind her back. Later, the gun and some of Laura's clothing rest on the passenger seat of her car as Nick drives, chuckling to himself. Laura makes a call from the hotel.
Hello? Hello?
Hello, this is Policia? Madre de Dios, my name is Sofia. I call from Charles de Gaulle Airport. A man just hit the lady in front of the pharmacy.
Oui, de Gaulle. Oui. Un homme a frappé la dame sur le parking devant la pharmacie. Oui.
Yes. Wait a second. Yes, man is still there, but I see no lady. He steals her car. No, sorry. My husband calling me.
Pardon, no, je peux pas.
Police approach Nick as he leaves the pharmacy.
Is it your car?
It's not mine, but somebody loaned it to me.
More police arrive and Nick's arrested. At the hotel, Laura stares into a mirror and wipes away the makeup that gave her the appearance of having a black eye. There's a knock at the door and she says, "Come in."
Entrez.
A uniformed waitress enters with a bottle of champagne on a tray.
Bonjour.
Merci. Just put it down here.
As requested by Laura, the waitress places the tray on a side table and heads back to the door.
Could you give me my bag?
Bien sûr.
Of course. It's over there by the bed.
Laura's been speaking from the bathroom. The waitress looks around the dimly lit hotel room, but can't see the bag anywhere.
I can't find it. Maybe on the floor? I'm sorry, but I don't see it.
Laura smashes the waitress over the head with the champagne bottle.
This is the gun we found in the Mercedes.
Any details?
It's not registered. Concerning the car, it belongs to the American Embassy.
The policeman enters an interview room where Nick is waiting and closes the door behind him.
This doesn't make much sense. I'm Chief Inspector Serra.
Hi.
Maybe you can help me out.
I said it already. But okay, all right. Mrs. Watts is trying to kill herself. I stopped her. So she set me up for you guys to get me out of the way. That's it.
How did you come up with that?
You know, I read a lot of mysteries and I just figured out the end is halfway.
I put the clues together and I know what happened, sir.
What happened, Mr. Barlow? Was a car belonging to Ambassador Watts was found in your possession.
Well, I know that one.
On the front seat was a gun. Bullets. Blouse and dress. The only thing missing is the woman. Where is she?
I don't know. You check out the hotel?
Yeah, we checked the room. We found a naked waitress in a coma. Did you have anything to do with that?
No, I wasn't there. I was buying an inhaler.
Inhaler?
Yes, an inhaler. All right, Mrs. Watts has asthma. So I went to a pharmacy to get her prescription refilled. That's it.
So you figured, by having a car and clothes, she wasn't going anywhere.
Correct. Yeah.
And he kept the gun so she wouldn't shoot herself.
That's right.
Why would she want to do that? Why would she want to do that?
Well, her husband was beating her up because she wanted to leave him.
The American ambassador beats his wife.
That's right. That's right. Yes, and she has the face to prove it.
You see, I'm kind of mystery buff myself. And you know what kind of mystery this is? A kidnapping.
Oh, come on.
Ambassador's wife, held for ransom.
No, no, no.
Everything was going fine until someone reported the stolen car. You didn't even have time to set the ransom note.
No, no, no.
Or did you?
No, no, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I am no kidnapper, sir.
Why don't we take a ride down to the residence and see what the ambassador has to say about that?
I think this is a terrible misunderstanding. I spoke with Mrs. Watts. She explained to me how she let Mr. Broder use her car. I don't know who reported it stolen because it wasn't. And my attorney, Mrs. Phillips, has indicated to me that no crime has been committed. So I'm a little confused as to what we're doing here, Inspector.
You spoke to your wife yourself?
Yes, I did.
Could I speak with her?
Well, I don't think that's necessary. This has been an awkward situation for all of us concerned, and I don't want to prolong it. You know, I'm afraid that Ms. Phillips will have to handle your questions from now on. I have an engagement. Please excuse me.
As Watts goes, the inspector looks round at Nick, who shrugs uncomfortably.
Inspector Sarah, you've displayed a boorish lack of sensitivity towards the American ambassador. We do not need or want your investigative skills employed to discover why Mrs. Watts was in a hotel bedroom this morning with Mr. Bardo. I suggest you return to your duties and drop this matter. The less said about it, the better.
I'd still like to talk to Mrs. Watts.
And what crime has she committed?
No crime. I just want to see her.
Well, I'm sure we all want to see lots of people. But fortunately, in our country and in yours, they are not compelled to see us. Good day, Inspector.
Nick chases after the inspector.
Sir,
do you know the penalty for having an illegal handgun?
I told you, it's not my gun.
Okay, then we'll just keep it. Now, about your motorcycle.
You really want to report it stolen?
Of course I want to report it stolen. If it wasn't at the hotel, somebody took it, sir.
Why don't you look a little harder? If it doesn't turn up in a few days, give me a call.
Sir.
You don't believe one goddamn thing I said, right?
Not only don't I believe you, I don't even like you. Look, Baro, I know who you are. Ex-paparazzi smart ass who hasn't worked for 7 years. I don't know what you're up to, but it's not smart. But if you keep it up, you're going to wind up on a cell block full of smart guys just like you.
Nick looks around and trudges off in the opposite direction from the inspector. Later, Nick crosses the road heading back towards his apartment. He finds his bike parked up on the pavement. He examines it for a moment before running off towards his apartment. In his flat, an entire wall is covered with dozens of photographs that have been fitted together to form a perfect panorama of the view from his balcony. Nick's computer is displaying a new email notification. There's a set of keys lying on a small pile of unmounted photographs. Nick steps inside and looks around with an air of suspicion. He steps towards his desk and picks up the set of keys. He opens his email and reads the new message. The cat's in the bag. Meet me at the Passerelle de Billy Bridge at 10 p.m. Did you send the ransom note? He clicks on the sent mail window and reads another message.
Mr. Watts, if you ever want to see your wife again, bring $10 million in bear bonds to the Passerelle de Billy at 2 a.m. this morning. If you inform the police or arrive with anyone besides yourself, she will be killed.
Later, night has fallen, and Nick meets Laura on the bridge.
Mrs. Watts.
Call me Lily.
Okay, Lily. What the hell do you think you're doing, Lily?
Are you mad at me?
Mad? Nah. You're making everybody think I've kidnapped you.
Haven't you?
That is not funny.
No, Nicholas, you're right. It's not funny. It wasn't funny when you sold my picture to the papers, either. And then you showed up to do what? Explain? Apologize? Lie?
I was afraid for your life. I felt responsible for it. Damn it!
That's so sweet, Nicholas. I'm a bad girl, Nicholas. Real bad. Rotten to the heart. Last scrape I was in, I fucked up a lot of people. Bad people. People like me. People that don't forget. But I was given a second chance. So I went back to the States, where I got everything a bad girl ever wanted. Fucking Watts. He was actually kind of a sweet guy until being the richest man in the world wasn't enough. Had to have public glory. So he gave away a ton of money, bought himself the French ambassadorship, which of course meant the little missus got dragged out in the Parisian limelight. Well, I couldn't do that, Nicholas, because bad people read newspapers too. Et voila. Enter my worst nightmare. You snap that fucking picture, sell it to the tabloids, now it's only a matter of time before those bad people come running. So I got the photographer turned blackmailer to kidnap me.
Blackmailer? You offer me money. And I have never kidnapped anybody, you fucking bitch.
Then where am I, Nicholas? Why did you have my car, my clothes, a gun? Why was a ransom note emailed from your computer? Everyone knows you did it.
I gotta think.
Don't bother. You don't have to think about anything.
You.
I've got it all thought out for you. Watts is coming up here at 2 a.m. with $10 million in a briefcase. Now, if you start being a little nice to me, I might cut you in on the take.
We are going to the police.
Why would you want to do that?
Oh, yes. Because you're going to tell them the crazy story you just told me. Come on.
Nicholas, what, do you think I'm stupid? I'm not going to tell them that story. I'm going to tell them the kidnapping story. Starring you. Nicholas.
Hold on.
See, I did have time to go back to that sex shop.
Oh, shit.
Come on. What'd you do that other gun I gave you, huh?
Cops took it.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
So, I got you another one. Come here.
Be careful with that thing.
It's all right.
He pulls away when she tries to kiss him on the lips.
Nicholas, isn't sugar better than vinegar? Come on.
She kisses him again, but he still doesn't respond.
We have a couple hours, baby. Let's go do something fun, you want to?
In a seedy bar, a group of men have gathered around Laura, ogling her. She smiles back at them, resting her head against Nick's shoulder.
Hey, how come you're the only man in this room that doesn't want to fuck me?
What? Nicholas, where are you going?
I'm just going to buy some cigarettes and, you know, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. Well, you have my balls in your pocket, Lily.
She gestures to one of the men.
Pack of cigarettes, anything American.
At the bar, Nick reaches into his pocket and finds his recorder. He takes the cigarettes from the barman and looks round to see one of the men sit down next to Laura. She nuzzles against the stranger.
Hey, Nicholas, come here. Meet my friend Napoleon.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's in love.
Listen, can we just go outside for a second? I need to talk to you.
Nicholas, come on. We're having fun. We're just cool. Come on.
Well, I'm going to go out.
No, yeah. Nicholas, we don't want you to wait out in the cold. Do we, Napoleon? I mean, if we hit it off.
She strokes Napoleon's thigh.
I don't know, I was kind of thinking of letting you off the hook.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you don't seem to be enjoying my company much. Maybe Napoleon and I here should just sail off into the sunset. And you can go fuck yourself.
Nick starts to walk away, and he slips a cigarette into his mouth. As he stops to light it, Laura walks past him, followed by Napoleon. She leads Napoleon down into an empty basement bar, and after a moment, Nick follows them. She puts a song on at the jukebox. She starts to writhe her hips from side to side and stubs out her cigarette. Napoleon, sitting on a chair nearby, staring at her intensely, whilst Nick, having descended the stairs, watches unseen from a doorway. She struts across the room in front of Napoleon and starts to remove her see-through black, lacy top. She pulls it off over her head and lets it drop to the floor. She hitches down her skirt, keeping her eyes locked on Napoleon. She turns away from him and teasingly tugs at her black knickers. She pulls at the straps of her bra and lets them fall down from her shoulders. She undoes her bra at the front, but stays facing away from the two men as she keeps moving seductively to the music. She resets her bra, peers around and smiles before strutting towards Napoleon. Putting her hands on his shoulders, she grinds against him and slides down slowly into his lap. Nick looks away as her head disappears from view. But she stands back up, tugging at Napoleon's hair. She saunters over to a covered pool table and leans against it. Napoleon looks back with a piercing stare as she runs her hand through her blonde locks. She prowls across the table and pulls her body up onto it. She turns over onto her back and thrusts her crotch rhythmically. Napoleon snaps and strides over to her. He pushes her legs apart and pulls her to him. She slaps him and tries to fight him off. Nick rolls his eyes and after a moment pulls Napoleon off her. Laura sits up and smiles as the shadows of the two fighting men are cast up against the wall behind her. Napoleon goes at Nick with a pool cue, but he wrestles it off the thug and smacks him with it.
I hope you didn't kill him. He was gonna save me from a dip in the Seine.
What?
We had big plans. I was gonna go off the bridge into his boat. Big plans. Oh, poor Lily. Whatever happened to her? She must have drowned and washed out to sea. Thanks a lot. You ruined everything.
Fuck you.
He kisses her hungrily.
Did I make you jealous?
Jealous? Yes. Yes. I was jealous. I am jealous.
Come on, Nicholas. You don't have to lick my ass. Just fuck me.
He bends her over.
You know what? We can still go away. Both of us. Together.
That's so sweet. Come here. Come here.
She moves herself around him, and he lies back on the pool table. Then she climbs on top of him and grinds against his crotch.
That's so romantic. Without the money? Huh? Are you nuts?
She climbs down off the table and walks through beaded curtains, straightening her panties as she goes, leaving Nick blissfully staring up at the ceiling.
It's a choice. A bad choice. There are other ones.
What, like doing the right thing?
That's a start.
I tried that once, Nicholas. You know what it got me? Huh? A lifetime of looking over my shoulder. You know why no good deed goes unpunished? Because this world is hell and you're nothing but a fucking patsy. I made everybody think you kidnapped me so I could screw my husband out of 10 million bucks. That's what it's all about. Me disappearing with 10 million bucks. So, wipe it off. And let's go get it.
Nick's been secretly recording the conversation.
Fuck you.
Sometime later, they're back on the bridge. Nick's wearing a balaclava and pointing a gun at Laura's head as Watts walks towards them. He pushes her and she steps towards her husband.
You're not gonna hurt her, right? Because I've done exactly what you told me to do. I brought the money, and I haven't talked to anyone.
Laura's looking around with a fearful expression. She shoots a glance at a boat that's approaching the bridge.
Don't do anything foolish, darling.
I won't.
He just wants me to take the money and bring it back to him.
Okay.
Nick removes his balaclava.
What?
Nicholas Barnard, your wife is staging this kidnapping to take it for 10 million bucks. If you don't believe me, I got it right here on tape.
What's this shot? By Lure.
What the fuck do you think you're doing?
You killed him.
You're just being careful.
Nick raises his gun and they shoot one another. Some distance away, Black Tie, Wetsuit and Chief are in a car watching the bridge. Black Tie says, "That fucking bitch. She's at it again." Nick staggers back, away from Laura.
Fucking bitch.
At gunpoint, Chief headbutts Wetsuit and grabs his gun before smashing Black Tie's head against the steering wheel. On the bridge, Nick drops his gun and the recorder and falls to the ground. Laura tosses both items into the Seine and kneels at his side.
You didn't think I'd give you a gun loaded with real bullets, did you? Baby, there's one more thing we gotta do.
Nick convulses with the shot. Laura hears footsteps.
Oh God, somebody! Help! My husband! Help!
Black Tie grabs her.
Fucking over everyone again. Not this time. The diamond.
He bashes her head repeatedly against the ground.
Wake up, bitch. Before you die.
Black Tie and Wetsuit toss her over the bridge. A slight smile spreads across Nick's face before he dies. Laura disappears below the water's surface. The bubbles around her gradually clear to reveal her naked in the dark depths. She looks around and opens her mouth in a cry of terror. She spins herself around and starts swimming frantically towards the surface. She emerges in the bathtub, gasping for air. She looks around as it slowly dawns on her that she's in Lily's parents' house once more. A soaked Lily steps in through the front door and stands motionless in the hallway. Just as before, Lily kneels down and looks for something in a suitcase. Laura climbs out of the bath and, now wearing a dressing gown, slowly makes her way through the house. She looks round and sees the same curtains she hid behind previously. She pulls the curtains back slightly and sinks to the floor where she watches Lily unseen. Sitting at a table, Lily empties bullets from the box out in front of her and sets about loading the gun she retrieved from the suitcase. Having chambered a bullet, Lily raises the gun and points it at the side of her head. Laura keeps her eyes focused on her doppelganger. Laura flinches as the gun fails to fire. Lily lowers the gun and begins to weep helplessly. She stares at the weapon and spins the chamber once more. A look of growing determination spreads across Laura's face, and she starts to shake her head. She emerges from her hiding place, strides towards Lily, and snatches the gun from her.
What's in this? Huh? A bullet that's gonna spread your brains all over that wall. You know how I know? Look at me. I'm your fucking fairy godmother. And I just dreamt your future. And mine too. And all I know is, if there's a snowball's chance in hell, if any of that shit happened, we're gonna change it right here. Now listen. I know you got a bad break, but that's history, and you better fucking forget it, because if you can't, well, then you may as well go ahead and pull the trigger. But if you don't end it here, and you get your ass on that plane to America, your future will be sitting right next to you. His name is Bruce, and he's a really good guy, and he's gonna look into your eyes, and he's gonna fall in love. After that, you're on your own. So what do you say? Do I pull the trigger? Or do you get your ass on that plane and have a wonderful life?
How do I know that you tell the truth?
How do I know there's a bullet in the chamber?
Fires a shot into the wall. Now, Lily steps out of a petrol station and has a word with the driver of a lorry. She climbs in and sits in the passenger seat. The lorry starts up and rolls out onto the road. Later, Lily's staring out of the windscreen with a misty-eyed expression as the driver steers the vehicle. He looks over at her.
C'est vraiment très joli, ça. Vous l'avez eu?
He gestures to her necklace and says, "That sure is pretty. Where did you get it?"
Dans une petite boutique à Belleville.
In a curio shop in Belleville, she responds, "I got it for my daughter."
Moi aussi, j'ai une petite fille.
Elle aura I've got a little girl myself, the driver says. She'll be 10 next June. Do you remember the name of the store? I make lots of deliveries there. I'd sure like to get her something like that for her birthday. Lily considers, and then says, "You give this to her," and she takes off the necklace.
Ça c'est vraiment très gentil à vous.
He says, "That's sure nice of you. She'll just love it." She responds, "It's just for a little girl. When she grows up, she'll think it's too silly. So just take it and hang it right there." So that when you're on the road, your little girl will always be with you. Seven years later, Nick's sitting on his balcony, reading the newspaper.
Hola, el señor no está en la casa en estos momentos.
What are you doing, dodging bill collectors?
No entiendo.
Nick, asshole, it's Johnny.
I know who you are.
What are you doing?
I'm just trying to catch a little lightning in a bottle.
You eating?
Madeline.
Would you like to make some real money?
What are you selling, John?
You know who Bruce Hewitt Watts is?
A new American ambassador?
Bingo. Well, guess what? He's got this wife and three kids, but no one seems to have a picture of him.
Well, you know, maybe they're camera shy. You know, there are some people that like to keep their home life private. You know, that is weird, but they do.
What's happening? Did he find fucking God or something? You owe me, pal.
Man, I guess I'm gonna have to keep on owing.
That you have.
I
there it is. A little under 4 million.
Four?
That's the best I could do. I had to fence them off one at a time. Sorry that it took so long, but it was the safest way.
Not bad for a night's work, huh?
You call that work? Bye, Laura. It's best we don't see each other again.
The brunette in camouflage kisses Laura as Nick takes photographs. The woman leaves a briefcase on the table and strides along the pavement. Dark clouds gather in the sky above the wedding party congregating outside the church. The photographer...
Restez encore groupés pour la photo, hein?
The camouflage woman passes a stall selling fresh fruit and vegetables. Nick keeps his camera lens trained on Laura as she picks up the briefcase. Just as before, the woman steps through a doorway as the wedding photographer looks up at the cloudy skies. The same lorry driver who gave Lily a lift pulls out from the side of the road as the camouflage woman runs back out of the building, chased by black tie and wetsuit. They catch up with her next to a truck that two men are preparing to load with produce. The lorry driver continues along the street, Lily's glass pendant necklace hanging on the windscreen in front of him. As wetsuit and black tie manhandle the woman, black tie says, "You bitch, you and Laura set us up." Laura gasps as black tie continues, "She never switched the bra, and you walked right the hell out wearing it." Laura covers her mouth with her hand as she pictures herself and Vanessa in the toilets at the premiere. They hold the snake bra between them and stare at its beauty. Then they look at one another and share a happy, conspiratorial smile. In the moment, the lorry rounds a corner and is nearly cut up by a motorbike. The wedding photographer starts to smile as the sun suddenly breaks through the clouds. The burst of sunlight makes Nick flinch and it flashes off his camera lens and Laura's metallic briefcase before reflecting onto Lily's necklace in the lorry. The driver's dazzled and the lorry plows into black tie and wetsuit, skewering them onto the loading rack of the other truck. Nick runs off to help, as Laura looks back at the unharmed, camouflaged woman. It's Veronica. Veronica gives the two hoodlums the finger and yells an obscenity at them. Seeing their bodies, the lorry driver is left devastated. Laura watches Veronica as she disappears into the crowd with a smile. Laura's then knocked over by a passerby who's rushing to the accident site. Nick goes to her aid.
Excuse me, lady. Are you all right?
It was an accident. It was terrible.
She stares at him.
Sorry. I'm just a little shook up.
Actually, you look like you need a drink.
Drink?
Yes, come on.
They walk along together.
I'm sorry, you look so familiar. Haven't we met before somewhere?
Only in my dreams.
In Nick's apartment, the photo montage on his wall now includes a still of the moment the sunlight reflected off Laura's briefcase and dazzled the lorry driver. The end.